T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us here in studio. How you doing, Michael?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just been covering OTAs this week. And, you know, the big story was sort of getting into Matt LaFleur and his new lifestyle, having to deal with this torn Achilles tendon that he had the other day. So, you know, the first thing I had to ask him was directly was, you know, what happened? You know, how did this happen? He says that he and his coaching staff, after a long day of coaching and film and out on the practice field, after they have dinner and they probably go and have some more meetings, let's go down to the gym tonight and do a little basketball. And so he says that's how this thing happened a week ago last week, Wednesday night, when he had the injury. Joe?
Don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, he talked about this at length, where he said that they play basketball after practice every night, and that they were playing this knockout game, and that he was trying to go up for a rebound, came down, and he said he felt like somebody kicked him. So he knew right away that that this thing had he'd injured it. And then, you know, he went into the feelings of just having to deal with how's this going to completely change his coaching style. Because we talked about how those first couple of practices, this guy dips his head in the huddle, listens to how Aaron Rodgers is calling the play. Then as the huddle's breaking, runs to the other side of the field, lines up like a safety, waits for the team to come out, watches the offense run the play at him, and he'll chase down players, veteran players, linemen, quarterbacks, and say, no. You know, you should veer this way. You should make a cut that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this really hinders the way the guy is going to go about doing his job.
Right.
There's other coaches that have done this. He talked about, I think we got the cut there where he talked about cut one. Do you have that, Joe? Mm-hmm. This is how he described the situation to us.
After a long work day, you got to get some exercise in, and we got a lot of guys on our staff that like to play basketball, and there's a gym right in Lambeau, so, you know, that's kind of been our routine, and nighttime basketball, and especially when our family's been away, the guys that, you know, whose families haven't moved here and whatnot, we just get together and play some nighttime hoops. And
how did it happen, Matt? How did it happen?
I wish I could give you some crazy, like, dunk story or anything like that, but we were playing on 10-foot hoops, and everybody knows I can't jump that high, so I missed a shot, and I went for a rebound, and it felt like somebody kicked me, and there was nobody behind me, so I had a pretty good idea of what it was right away.
Well, and on your way then probably to get treatment, you must have thought, as much as I'd like to be with those players or in the huddle, frustration about that, huh?
Yeah, but you know what? If I'm just going to try to keep as positive as mindset as I can and use it as a teaching moment for our team, and hopefully that they'll realize, you know, bad things can happen if you play a little hoop. But like I said, I think it could have happened out here on the field as well. So,
well,
he's keeping cool under pressure.
Sure.
It's a major pain.
I bet.
For a 39-year-old coach, a guy that's trying to install a new offense and, you know, trying to run a 3-ring circus out there,
mm-hmm.
You do it from a golf cart.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough.
I bet. I bet he's having some issues with it.
Now, you know, the question is, will he be able to, how soon can he get back on his feet? Because right now he's in a golf cart. He actually came out halfway through practice, so they have to limit the time. He just had the surgery on Sunday. So here's what he thinks his game plan is as to when he can get, you know, back on his feet and on a sideline by game time in August.
A few years back, you know, remember when Sean Payton broke his leg on the sideline? I don't anticipate coaching from the press box or anything like that. I think as long as I handle my business and follow the doctor's orders, I don't foresee it being an issue come week one. You know, that as far as limitations during the preseason, there might be some. You might see me on a boot or in a boot on the sideline, but like I said, I'm just going to take it one day at a time.
Look, I don't know how much this hinders him. You know, I mean, I know there's a big deal made of it because the head coach of the Green Bay Packers tore his Achilles. I get it. How much do you think that this, his ability to be able, because you...
Well, where do you want to call a game from? The press box or the sideline talking to the referees,
to me, though, Sunday is a byproduct of Wednesday through Friday. So how much does this impede his ability to coach? Because you said he likes to be a guy that runs down the field and grabs you and says, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, he's got to be more of a field general.
Yeah.
It's like some of the players were saying, it doesn't hurt him a bit when he's in the film room because he's in the back of the room still, you know, chewing us out and saying, this is wrong, this is right, those kinds of things.
Right.
I think just the big question is you just want to make sure that when you're down at Soldier Field for the season opener, that, you know, you can have a headset on there, you can talk to referees, and you can throw a challenge flag and all that, not have to rely on Nathaniel Hackett or somebody else to play that role because he's still up, you know, with his foot up elevated from a press box.
Right.
You know, when we met this coaching staff and you could see the kind of the inexperience, but just a couple of months into this journey and coaching these players and being together, these guys are a lot more confident and very open about their descriptions. Because I asked LaFleur straight out, okay, so you've gone through this little traumatic event with the Achilles surgery. You managed to show up to the softball game and throw out the first pitch, you know, because the guys were kind of counting on you. How do you think your team looks so far as you head into the last week of OTAs?
Yeah, I thought, you know, there's a lot of good things, and there's still a ton of room for improvement. I think, you know, just the way we operate in and out of the huddle, I think it could be a little bit cleaner and crisper. And like I said, we don't have the full offense in quite yet, like as far in terms of the no huddle and whatnot. And I think from a defensive perspective, you know, I love the communication that's going on. I feel like, especially with the amount of new people that we have in the system, I think everybody's done a really good job. And it starts with Pet, you know, communicating what we need to get done. I feel like everybody's on the same page, and they're certainly presenting some challenging looks for the offense, and then you look at the special teams, and I think we're setting a solid foundation going into the fall.
There's a lot of things where they've kind of tightened down in security when it comes to what we can take pictures of a practice and certain kinds of access. But I'll say this, just in talking to LaFleur and all the assistant coaches, they're pretty open right now in terms of their assessments as to how the players are doing, where they think guys are right now. And so that part has been refreshing. You know, it's their first year, so the honeymoon period is still on. But that part has been interesting to watch.
Let's do this. I wanted to get into a couple of other things regarding the OTA. So when you were talking about some of the things that they had going on, Jimmy Graham had the knee injury from last year. He wants to come back and be better. You've got guys that that are feeling comfortable the second year in Mike Pettine's system that I want to get into as well. These are all the things that I want to talk about when we come back. Hang in there. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, I just try to keep the big picture in mind and kind of keep my mind on whatever task is in front of us, and that helps just me forget about kind of what's going on. Sometimes I'll be sitting there doing something, I'm ready to get up, and then I realize, oh, I can't put any weight on my foot.
Ouch! Ouch! Head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, his voice there. Joining us in studio, Mike Clemens from our Green and Gold Insider from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Matt's coaching from a cart. Aaron Rodgers loves to chug scotch. And Jimmy Graham has something to prove. You've got young guys coming into second-year players, veterans trying to help out the young guys. But you know what? As I said, Mike, coming into this segment just before, no major controversy It's kind of nice. You're not seeing guys that are missing and skipping OTAs and mini camps and blaming it on other reasons, and you don't have any bravado garbage going on right
now. We've already forgotten about Josh Jones. Is he going to show up next week to the mandatory minicamp?
Yeah,
right?
Well,
and that's a second round pick, and that should be you should be getting something for that.
We'll find
out how that all plays out.
But
who said at the start of these OTAs, I'm not coming? Look, they draft a guy, then they sign another guy in free agency, or it was the other way around. But I should be a starting safety. I want to be traded. So we'll see how that plays out.
Aaron Rodgers said something interesting, because to me, I'm like, look, I don't think you've earned the stripes just yet to be kind of demanding anything.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers said, we want guys that want to be here.
Right.
So was he in essence saying, hey, if the guy doesn't want to be here, get rid of him? Or was he, because to me, I think it sets a bad precedent.
Aaron said, we love Josh. He's a part of our locker room. He's made some big plays for us. But at the same time, you know, Josh, it's you. Look at the guy in the mirror who doesn't seem to be able to get the defense and hasn't earned the trust of either Dom Capers or now Mike Pettine. So it's kind of on you why you're being replaced and why you're right now you're still a backup and special teams guy. One area of concern as I'm watching these OTAs is offensive line. David Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, left guard. Corey Linsley at center, no problem. Lucas Patrick, when Linsley had a family emergency, missed some OTA, he jumped in at center. Okay, that's okay. And they've done pretty good in terms of draft and bringing back some free agents. So Billy Turner is the guy that they paid some money to come in from Denver. Now, the first week of this, we were out there, and we watched him lining up at right guard, right? And I guess they're not going to bring back Byron Bell, who they brought in for 1 year to fulfill that. But Bulaga, he has to drop out when they go in 11-11. So he's not like 100%. So 1 week they use Jason Spriggs, who's going into his, third year, fourth year now?
Mm-hmm.
High draft pick. And then the other day they said, well, let's try Turner at right tackle.
Right.
Put him out at right tackle. And then they put the rookie, Elton Jenkins, at right guard. So they're trying these things out. I think that the depth is pretty good, but you'd like to see Bulaga, you'd like to know that when you have to line up against Khalil Mack, game one, who had 12 and a half sacks last year, who Dick Butkus walked on the field the other day at the Bears OTAs and handed him the Butkus Award for best linebacker in the NFL, you'd like to think that you're going to have experience ready for that guy. Remember how Khalil Mack knocked Bulaga on his butt in the first three plays?
Right.
At the opener last year, and then Mack sort of ran out of gas as that game ran on. Then the tight end situation. You got Mercedes Lewis, who was kind of talking some smack about Aaron Rodgers when all of his audibles in January, but they brought him back. Jimmy Graham, and then you've got these very young tight ends. You don't have like 1, 5, or 6 years in between there. So Jimmy Graham knows that last year he had the knee injury, then the broken thumb, which really made it tough. That might explain why he only had 2 touchdown catches in 2018. Some people are kind of surprised that Green Bay brought him back, and here's what Jimmy had to say.
Obviously, last year was disappointing for everybody. I'm not used to losing. I don't think anybody here is. And for me, it was not a good year. And so, I'm completely focused on putting my best foot forward and being the player that I am. Scoring down the red zone and being that big threat on third down. I mean, I got to get back to that and. I take it serious. It's something that eats at me every day, just not making the playoffs and sometimes not making the plays that I should have. So there's a lot going on last year for all of us, kind of in the building, but all that's in the past. And, I know the player that I am and I know that I still have juice. I know I can still run, so I'm going to go prove a lot of people wrong. You better believe I'll be ready.
There's a lot going on last year inside the building.
But also, he was nicked up, apparently.
Nicked up.
Because we saw him.
But Aaron Rodgers is selling him. Aaron is like, hey, no, second year, more chemistry. Jimmy Graham is a smart, experienced football player. We're going to do great things. Well, he's still dropping some passes in practice, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, he was dropping passes, but last year in training camp, we saw him over and over again. They were working with one another. Things seemed to be going good. We saw that glimpse early on in training or in preseason. And that first pass over the middle scores a touchdown. We thought, okay, there's 20 more of those to come this year, and it just never materialized.
Randall Cobb's gone. Jordy Nelson's gone now 2 years. So you're looking for experience for Aaron Rodgers. Everything's fine with Davante Adams, although he's missed a couple of these OTA practices. He was gone the other day. And then you got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, coming back for his second year. You know, looks like he's shown some growth. Equanimeous St. Brown, nobody talks about him much, but I still think that he could be a tremendous talent. Then a bunch of other young receivers. But you know the guy that Aaron Rodgers will start to smile and give the wink to and the thumbs up to is when he hits Jake Kumerow.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a connection with Jake Kumerow. And so Kumerow says, you know, hey, I still know that I got a battle. Even though the quarterback likes me, I feel like I've got a battle for a roster spot. And he said, like, Matt LaFleur has no problems coming up to him and calling him out in practice from the golf cart.
Yeah, he called me over a few times a day. He'll just call you on over and, you know, you get over there and get whatever he's got for you, whatever coaching point he's got. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't affect much. All you got to do is just go over to by him instead of have him run up to you. It doesn't affect really much anything when it comes to the meetings or the practice. He's right there behind us in our ears, letting us know what's good and bad. And, yeah, we've been doing good out there. I like having the new wide receiver coach Witt and Coach Raves. They've been a big help, you know, learning this new offense. And Coach LaFleur, before the injury, was also very active out there running around with us. So having a year under your belt watching Aaron and learning his scheme definitely helps being around year two. You know, year one, you're definitely a little bit nervous, a little jittery to make sure that you're doing everything right. And now year two comes around and, you know, I feel a little bit more confident. And you know, maybe had a solid year last year in training camp. And this year I'm expecting to have a better one. So I got to make the team once again. That's how I attack every year. So I'm ready to, you know, do everything I can.
Do you believe he's got the talent to be that guy?
I do. I really do. I think so. You know, we've just seen him in training camp. Then he screws up his shoulder doing that somersault in the touchdown against the Steelers and kind of messed up most mm-hmm. of his season. And then the running game. Aaron Jones, they took three running backs, was it 2 years ago now? 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Jamal Williams, who's, you know, a power back that can carry the ball 30 times. Aaron Jones, who's got the speed and the burst, but, you know, he'll go for 4 or 5 games, and then he has an MCL. They took a Derek Mays, was it? And you know, he kind of flamed out. He was a change of pace guy, but didn't seem to get it. So this year, they used the pick for Dexter Williams out of Notre Dame. He looks pretty good so far. They've got some other candidates out there that I like out there. There's a Capri Bibbs that shows a burst when he's outside. So the running game is this. You know, maybe we don't know how good Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones can be because they never got their number called enough last year. Aaron Rodgers was audibling out of the run game. And you got a new head coach that says, we're going to run the football with the outside zone scheme. So I guess we'll find out this year just how good those two running backs can be. Doesn't hurt to have some more guys to fill in. So that's a look at the running game. On the other side of the football, Blake Martinez, everybody thinks is doing a great job. Of course, led the team last year in tackles. And one guy you really missed was your third-round pick, Oren Burks, who jacks his shoulder, warming up in the sidelines in a pregame against the Raiders last year. Messed up much of his rookie season. He admits that as a third-round pick, his rookie season was sort of a lost year.
I didn't meet my expectations and was ready to make the jump.
So. Have you changed your body?
I'm feeling a little stronger, especially the injury that I had early in the season. That kind of held me back a little bit, but feeling strong, the shoulders feeling good, and just confidence and being able to just recognize things a little bit faster. And just year two, you just kind of know what to expect a little bit more. Definitely wanted to focus on my eyes and be able to process things a lot faster, so that helped out a lot in terms of OTA is just getting better every day in processing things. So getting with Blake and some of those other guys and seeing what they see as linebackers in the league, and that's helped out a lot as well.
Just all part of every little edge that can make you a better player?
Yeah, it just simplifies the game for you, just knowing what reads to look for, and you're able to just play a lot faster. So.
The general feeling is that the defense, obviously because Mike Pettine is in his second year,
mm-hmm.
is ahead of the game. And you'll even see, after 1 week, Blake Martinez, who, you know, fourth-year guy. I mean, great football player. He takes the radio helmet, and he gives it to Oren Burks. So they make him the Mike linebacker in these OTAs and have him run the defense to back up Blake Martinez. So that's a pretty good sign of progress. Then they bring in these veterans in free agency from the Redskins, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens. When I covered the Ravens against Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh in that Super Bowl down in New Orleans, I got down to New Orleans early that week, like we always do when we cover the Super Bowl.
Right.
And one of the first guys I saw happened to be walking on the street. I go, that's got to be a football player. It was just a gigantic man, Shaquille O'Neal size, just huge, with his wife and 3 or 4 kids following along and walking on the sidewalk. And it turned around, it was Terrell Suggs. Oh, my gosh. And Terrell Suggs is just one of the most underrated players. I don't know if it's because Baltimore is not that great of a media market anymore. You know, they had a lot of empty seats at Raven games last year. But after Ray Lewis and, you know, Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh as a coach, I can't believe that Suggs doesn't get as much attention as he does. Because when you're in the locker room with this guy, he is loud. He is boisterous. You can feel the energy coming off this guy. And he's like a 14, 15-year veteran. So I talked to Desarius Smith, trying to sort of find a common bond with them to talk about him. I talked to him about Suggs. And now that he's a fourth, fifth-year player in a whole new situation, having to adjust to guys like Kyler Fackrell and Reggie Gilbert at the outside linebacker squad, what is he doing to sort of break the ice with these guys?
As of right now, just going through the little things. Like I said, it's OTA, so we're basically going through the playbook, and we're all trying to learn a playbook. And some people don't like dropping. Some people don't like rushing from inside. But like I said, each one of us can do different things. So to help each other, that's the little things that we can learn from each other.
Terrell's one of the biggest personalities I've ever been around. Mr. Suggs has been one of the biggest personalities
I've
ever met. Fills up a room.
Yeah. Oh, man. Suggs is very legendary, man. I think he's been in the game for 15. And every little thing that he do, man, I follow him and follow his steps because I play behind him for 4 years. So just for him to be who he is, man, and I think he do a lot of movie stuff too, so he's a character too. So to have that in a room, man, it brings you joy, and when you're down in certain situations, to laugh and be around a guy like that.
So I'm hoping Za'Darius Smith picked up some stuff from Suggs in his time at Baltimore.
Yeah, you can certainly, he's not Terrell Suggs.
No.
In his heyday. You
right.
Know? I mean, I know that Aaron Rodgers had talked about them the other day in his presser and had said that they both really look good. That, you know, he was talking about Mike Pettine's defense and that guys look more comfortable, and then bringing in the new guys.
And Preston and Za'Darius.
And Preston and Za'Darius Smith. So, I mean, if you're a Packers fan, everything's kind of smelling like roses right now, but nobody's put a pad on yet and nobody's really hit anybody yet. So
there's all this national press about Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think when people watch Packer games on TV, it's like, okay, yeah, he got about a half step on the guy covering him, put his hand up, made a nice catch, you know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers says this guy is so underrated. And when you start asking around, it was kind of a conversation we had last year with Davante as he was leading the team with receptions. This guy's game is in the first 5 yards of the play. That Davante Adams is perhaps one of the very best in the NFL at beating press coverage, double team coverage. And you know, when a receiver is trying to make a juke and a fake move, and then that they call a stick, the defensive back,
right.
You know, the intended route, the direction he really wants to go is his stick. They say that's what Adams is really good at. And we asked Tremont if he could sort of break down why he thinks that Davante is so underrated as a wide receiver.
Because you don't get a lot of guys who can actually do that. That's like special. That's special. Not a lot of guys can do that. If you go back and you watch a lot of receivers, it's not going to be a lot of receivers able to get out their hips like that. And, you know, we only had, I think, maybe one other receiver who was able to get out their hips really that smooth over the years. And I say that was Greg at that point. He was a little different. Tay is a little bit more explosive. Greg was a little bit more smoother. But it's a rare thing. That's why it's hard for a DB to see that, because receiver always has one stick. We're taught to read the receiver's stick. And, you know, he's going to give you a little stutter, then he's going to give you the stick. And when he sticks, he's usually going the opposite way. But with a guy like that, this guy can give you more than one stick. And how do you read that? Do you go for the first stick or do you go for the second stick? So it's something that a lot of guys can't do. That's what makes it special. It gets him to the part of the field that he wants to get to and give the quarterback all the room that he wants to throw the ball. So it becomes a disadvantage for us more than anything. But, I mean, we can find ourselves still in a good position.
I'm excited about still a lot of the experience they have and some of the young guys. I can't wait to see how this defense kind of comes together. Stay tuned. We got more with Mike Clemens in the final segment of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tremendous personality, character, integrity, thoughtful. I knew who Bart Starr was. I knew what he stood for. I knew that he quarterbacked the Packers, as they could say now, the glory years. And so when I got a chance to meet Bart, Bart would always go out of his way to come say hello. And I just thought to myself, I mean, this is crazy. Why would he want to talk to me?
Brett Favre talking about the late Bart Starr and his passing. Mike Clements joining us here in studio. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. A lot of recollecting, I guess, going on and reflecting going on in Green Bay after Bart had passed.
Well, when you get the news that Bart Starr has passed away, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about is, okay, how is Favre and how are Rodgers going to react? Are they going to be a part of this? Because Bart Starr did everything he could to reach out to those two young men. He just felt, with all that the Green Bay Packers gave him and Lombardi gave him, that the Bart Starr was such a character guy, he wanted to pay it forward. You know, I was thinking about a time where I interviewed Bart about 97 or 98, and he was in Milwaukee to promote the Lombardi golf tournament on a Saturday morning.
Right.
And he was talking to Tom Pippins from Fox 6, and then I was next in line for a TV station I was working for then. And, you know, to be around Bart Starr back then, 20 years ago in his 60s, it was, hi, how you doing? And he had a way of saying, okay, let's get to the point, all right?
Right.
Let's move this along. But he did it in such a way that it just, he was a leader in such an interesting, casual way that way, to keep things moving forward. I guess it's probably because he was such a smart guy as well. But he had a great way of keeping the moment moving along and at the same time making you feel like you were the only person on earth and he was focused on
right.
you and talking to you. That's what made him a great quarterback in the huddle and at least tried his best as a head coach. And Favre talked about, I didn't know this, when you interviewed Favre on that Thanksgiving in 2015,
right?
And they wanted to do that whole reunion the year before, but Bart had the stroke.
Right.
And so Favre talked about how they shot that three shot of him and Bart and Aaron Rodgers just before that Bears game in that rainy night and how much it meant for him to see Bart Starr come out of the tunnel.
I can't even describe how it felt and how, as I think back now, you know, I get chill bumps. And what people don't know about that was we actually were going to do it the previous year around the same time. And his health was not up to par, and they wanted to plan enough in advance. I was not going to do it unless Bart could do it. I really wanted to do it with him. You know how it is before a game. It's very hectic, and, of course, Bart and I are not playing anymore. Aaron goes out of his way, and we take this picture.
So he talked about how they had to take that free shot and how it all worked out. And Aaron talked about how he kept in contact with Bart Starr over the years.
Well, he said, you know, one of the first times we met, he said that playing quarterback in Green Bay is about more than just winning championships. Because he was trying to say that, you know, there's a way to carry yourself. There's a way to get involved in the community. There's an expectation of class. And there's nobody better who exemplified that than Bart, a true gentleman. But over the years, you know, him and Cherry would write me letters. Nobody really writes handwritten letters anymore, but I got a bunch of them, and so did Brett, you know, as we were sharing stories at the service. He actually shared a letter that that Bart had written to him about the way he was wearing his hat one time, which is pretty funny. But Bart was, you know, just a great man, great husband, great father, endured some tragedy in his own life and some ups and downs, and always kept a great attitude, and like I said, he handled himself with a lot of integrity and class. And it was, you know, we had a great relationship. Then obviously had the strokes, and the thing that I go back to is how important it was for him to get back in 15 to that game when they were retiring Favre's number. Just how much that meant to him, and if you guys had known how much he was struggling to even move or speak or get around, it just makes that feat even that more amazing.
So a week ago today, it's Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in the pews at Bart Starr's funeral.
Mike Clemens brought to you by our friends at Chili's. Make sure we all Chili's together. Time for us to go. Have a go and sweep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.